Hey y'all, welcome to Sisters in a Glimpse. We're two friends turned sisters, sharing glimpses of our walk with Jesus to encourage other believers in the Christian faith. Expect real conversations laced with honesty, laughter, conviction, and all kinds of truth found in God's Word. Our hope is that you will relate to the topics we discuss and will be encouraged to keep growing and keep pursuing God's will for your life. So now, let's jump right into the next episode of Sisters and a Glimpse. Hey, everybody.
Hello, guys.
This is Abby.
And this is Megan.
And welcome to episode 3 of season 3 of Sisters and a Glimpse.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I know. Okay, so how has your day been, Abby?
It has been wonderful.
What did you just get finished doing?
I got a massage, so if I yawn, I'm sorry.
And if I yawn, it's because Abby made me.
Yawns are contagious, but yes, I'm on a break this week, and I've had a gift card that I got as a birthday present from May of last year, and I haven't used it yet.
That's so nice.
And so I decided before it expires this May that I was going to use it for this week. So I set me an appointment, and
you are refreshed.
Got it done. I feel
beginning
so
of the week
refreshed,
ready
yes.
to go.
Yes,
love it.
Can't wait.
I know. Okay, so last week we told y'all about this series we're doing.
Yes,
in our Sunday school class from Craig Groeschel,
yep,
Christian atheist. Yes. And I loved how you put it yesterday. You were like, these are the symptoms of being a Christian atheist.
Oh, yeah.
So I just thought that was
yeah
a good way to
well,
look
really,
at it.
That's really what they are. Yeah.
I know. And so yesterday we talked in our class, Abby taught, about lukewarm Christianity.
Yep.
And it was a heavy hitter.
It was heavy.
Very convicting. And so we're just going to start this episode and share what Jesus has to say about the Christians who are lukewarm. So we're going to read from Revelation in Revelation 3, and it's the letter to Laodicea. So Abby, do you want to read that for us?
I would love to. Here we go. It says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." And I'm going to read, that was in the it's either in the NIV or in the Christian Standard Bible. But I want to read just that last little bit in the Message version because he actually says, or the way that this is translated, it says that you're stale, you're stagnant, you make me want to vomit. You brag, I'm rich, I've got it made, and I need nothing from anyone. But you are oblivious that, in fact, you're a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare, and homeless. He does not mix his words here.
No. And then to go on from there in verse 18, do you want to read that?
You want to grab it?
Okay, yep, I got it. It says, "I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, white clothes so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness not be exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the church."
Okay, so we read that and we think, ouch.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want the Lord to address me the way he addresses the church at Laodicea.
Yeah.
And so to kind of give a background there, Laodicea was a place that was very wealthy and that they had lots of wealth.
from imports and things they made, mm-hmm. That people came to them for. They were known for eye ointment that they mm-hmm. made, and for people who had eye disease. But then also, Laodicea was located where in between a place where there was hot springs, and by the time it flowed down to them, it was just tepid and lukewarm. Wow. And so even where they were has a lot to do with how they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we, after reading that, like Abby talked about yesterday, and how we were like, okay, let's have open hearts, open minds, and just see if there's anything in our lives that we need to address that, you know, Lord, show us if there's some areas in our life that, oh, that's lukewarm, or like we said, we're riding the fence.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've said it before, we'll say it again, the devil owns the fence. Mm-hmm. You can't be in the world and still have a foot in the church and be an effective Christian like he has called us to be.
Yep.
So we're going to kind of go through just a short little list of symptoms mm-hmm. that we should look for in our own lives mm-hmm. to make sure that we are not a lukewarm Christian.
Yeah. Yep.
So do you want to start us off?
I would love to. So the first one that we talked about was that a lukewarm Christian will crave acceptance from people more than acceptance from God, and that they are more concerned about how people see them or how people perceive them rather than being pleasing to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So what this could look like practically is they may stay away from certain subjects or certain conversations just because they don't want to offend anyone, or they may agree with someone on something that they probably don't need to, but for the sake of that person's acceptance of them, they're just going to kind of say, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of laugh. And we've all been there. Mm-hmm. Or on the flip side of that, we talked about how this could cause someone to be silent in a situation where they're actually needing to stand up for the truth and to stand up for the gospel and share what the Lord has done for them or what he says in their word. But instead, they are just kind of blending in for the sake of wanting to be liked, wanting to be accepted, and wanting to be pleasing to the people in their circles.
And I think we see that's very prevalent in our culture today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just speaking of generally the U.S. And what we see in social media, but, you know, not just in social media, in our churches,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
that we want to tiptoe mm-hmm. around certain subjects. Even pastors we see that mm-hmm. don't want to mention sin for the sake of bringing in a crowd. I know we had talked about before, and I don't know if it was on this podcast or just in our discussion that we had, that that there's a group or a church that said that they want to come as close to sin as they can,
mm-hmm.
Just to show that people are accepted. And so they'll do anything to show people, mm-hmm. hey, come to this church. We will accept you how mm-hmm. you are,
mm-hmm.
And not require change, just because they would rather be loved by people
mm-hmm. and have a lot of numbers.
Yeah. They crave applause from people instead of the applause of God.
Yep.
And that's a scary place.
That is a scary place.
But we have to, like in our own lives, that, you know, we have to check that. Like mm-hmm. what,
yeah,
you know, it might not be something big that everybody can see on social media or whatever, but where our hearts are. Like, are we not speaking up like you said?
Yeah.
Are we not saying things or calling people out on things that mm-hmm. we should
mm-hmm.
for the sake of, oh, they might be upset with me or they might not like me?
Yeah.
We should fear God above men.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Another symptom, that we can look for, and Abby and I were like, we've got to talk about this, mm-hmm. is, people who gauge their morality by comparing themselves to others.
Mm-hmm.
So a symptom of being lukewarm is, saying, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so.
Right. Or, I may struggle with this, yeah, but at least I'm not struggling with
that. Mm-hmm. I struggle with this little sin, yeah, but wow, look at them, because at least I haven't gone down that road. Mm-hmm. And we forget that we are supposed to compare ourselves to Christ's,
yeah,
perfection. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we see how dreadful we are.
Absolutely.
And how in need of a savior we are. That, mm-hmm, that comparison really hardens your heart to see the need for Jesus, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, your own need for Jesus.
And that's just like the enemy to do that, yeah, right? To keep, mm-hmm, our eyes off of ourselves. And especially even like in this conversation, mm-hmm, like when you're talking about lukewarm Christianity. And that was why yesterday it was so important, just to, you know, the enemy loves to cast shame and loves, mm-hmm, to, but also it's either you're going to be, he would love to cast shame, or he would love to say, oh, well, that's not me. And just have you kind of shut, just put your walls all around and say, oh, I'm not going there.
I don't have to listen to that. Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of the same way here of whenever you're actually like thinking about, okay, do I do this? It's easy to put those walls up and say, oh, of course not. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have done this at one time, mm-hmm, or another. Mm-hmm. Some of us, it's been more of a habit than others, but, mm-hmm, we all find ourselves doing this. And instead of, just like you said, we are called to follow Jesus's example, mm-hmm, and to put our life, knowing that, no, we're never going to be perfect,
mm-hmm,
but we are supposed to be being sanctified and, mm-hmm, refined.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer
if
that
we're going to compare,
if we're going
to compare to him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because hopefully the goal is that you are growing as you spend, mm-hmm, time with him. And as your relationship with him does mature, and as you mature, mm-hmm, you are being sanctified and you are, looking more and more like him. Right. Mm-hmm. But and oftentimes too, it's in our moments that we are struggling. Mm-hmm. Like, think about it, in the moments where you are more tempted to compare to others, those are the moments where you're almost taking the Holy Spirit's conviction and twisting it, because you wouldn't feel the need to do that if you weren't sinning yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, it's in the moments where you are in sin and you are dabbling in sin that you feel the need to look at someone and say, oh, well, I'm doing this, but at least I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If you are walking with your eyes on the Lord and you're walking faithfully and staying and doing what you, mm-hmm, need to be doing for him, then you're not going to be concerned about other people. Because,
yeah,
you're already fixed on him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that in and of itself, the need, the urge to do, mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm, in and of itself is the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm, trying to convict you, saying, hey, you need to stop looking at other people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look at yourself, and you need to turn from whatever it is you may be doing, mm-hmm, right now.
That, while you were talking, it made me think of the flip side of it, that comparison can lead to that,
mm-hmm,
where we, you know, it boasts us up and we are become prideful, thinking that we're better,
right,
and that we're, at least we're not as bad. But on the flip side, it can also be something that the devil uses to say, you're not as good,
yeah,
as this person.
Yeah.
Or,
so why,
you know,
even try?
Why even try? You could be, you know, everybody is on this journey with Jesus, and everybody's walk looks different, and, mm-hmm, everybody's walk has a different pace.
Mm-hmm.
We should all be growing, but sometimes that growth looks different. Everybody's going to be in a different spot.
Yep.
And it's easy to, as believers who are involved in a church, to look at people,
yeah,
who are more mature than you and, mm-hmm, think, wow, I could never be like them.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil can twist that and use that to make you stop pushing forward and stop,
yep,
persevering and stop walking with the Lord, because you get defeated and,
yeah,
discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And so both ways can lead to lukewarmness.
Yep.
Where we don't try because we see we'll never be able to do that, or either, at least I'm not as bad as that person.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
What's another symptom of lukewarm Christianity?
Another symptom would be that they are rarely sharing their faith in, mm-hmm, Christ. They are rarely spreading the gospel to those around them,
mm-hmm,
whether it may be to strangers, whether it is to coworkers,
mm-hmm,
to friends, to family members,
mm-hmm,
they are not talking about Jesus, mm-hmm, and what he has done for them in, mm-hmm, just their everyday conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that oftentimes, I know for me, like, this is one of my areas of struggle. And I,
yeah,
think that it stems from, I don't want to offend, you know, and that's what he talked about in the book of, this is due to the fact that they don't want to offend anyone or cause anyone to be like, you know, like put their guard up or anything. Or they're worried about what the next conversation may come, or you're afraid of what to say. And so, however, I forgot where I was going with that, but in this, it doesn't have to be some, now it can be some big deal where you are sitting down with a person and saying, hey, I want to share this with you, mm-hmm. and I just want you to hear me out. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to sit down and I just want you to listen. Mm-hmm. But it could also be just as simple as talking about Jesus, mm-hmm. just what the Lord did for me and just how he showed up yesterday, or how he showed up at a certain point in your life, where you're just trying to encourage, not necessarily mm-hmm. to lead someone, maybe in hopes of planting a seed, mm-hmm. But you're not just never mentioning anything mm-hmm. About him.
Yeah. You know, it can, some people, yes, we are supposed to share our faith. And I think that we have to do that with gentleness mm-hmm. and with kindness. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we see people who want to share their faith, but are doing it in a way that's turning people away.
Yes.
And we definitely do not want to be that kind of Christian who's sharing the almost, it seems like, bad news. Like you're going to hell, and with their posters and just, you know, Bible beating.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed, there's a time and a place mm-hmm. for that. And I think that more is in the pulpit.
Yes.
Yeah. But as followers of Christ in our everyday life, right. you know, our church has a, would you call it a motto?
Yeah.
What would you?
Just a mission statement.
A mission is shine and share.
Yeah.
So shine in the way you're living your life, mm-hmm. shine for Christ, mm-hmm. and share what good things the Lord has done for you.
Yeah.
And so there's a balance there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are lukewarm, you're not going to be shining and showing people the fruit that the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and you're not going to be sharing the good things that the Lord has done, because you're going to be lukewarm and you're not, your eyes are not focused on Jesus. So if we want to really look at our lives and examine that, we need to make sure, okay, am I shining with my life,
Do
and am I sharing?
Match.
And is there balance there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so something else we talked about, and there were several points that we thought, okay, all of these can kind of go together a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the gist of it is, I want to leave that one. We'll talk. One was, we'll do whatever it takes to alleviate our guilt. Mm-hmm. But so like we want to be forgiven, but we don't want to change our behavior.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be saved initially, and we want to know we're going to heaven.
Yes.
But yet, I don't want to change my lifestyle.
Right.
And I don't want anybody telling me I need to change my lifestyle.
Right. It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid over cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you don't want to, you want the quick fix.
Yeah.
You want a surface, to me, that reminds me of just a surface level faith.
And then you have to even question, like, is that true salvation?
Right. Because ultimately, when we are asking him into our lives, mm-hmm. And we talked about this, of you're not just giving him a part of you or one area of your life. It is full-fledged. You're surrendering everything. And that was the lesson's name. It was specifically over lukewarm Christianity, but it said, you know, I believe in Christ, but I don't want to go overboard. Mm. But he calls us to go overboard. Like you said at the beginning, there is no in-between. Mm. It's all or nothing. Mm-mm. You're either going overboard or you're not going.
Yeah.
And so the quick fix of not wanting to change your behavior, that's a heart issue.
I'll walk the aisle.
I
will say a prayer.
Because I want to feel better.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to go right back to doing what I was doing.
You know, it reminds me of, and I hesitate to say this, because I don't want to put everyone in the same, under the same umbrella here.
Mm-hmm.
But Catholics, majority of Catholics, we see this confession, but still live your own life. And so, you know, a lot of times we see, and yes, we see it in movies, but in real life, like gangsters and people who, you know, just morally down the wrong road.
Yeah. And are fully
most
aware
of the time are Catholics because if you go to confession, everything's good. Let me confess it.
Yep.
It's all good. I can walk out of that building and keep doing what I'm doing as long as I confess.
I've checked the box.
That's a scary place to be.
It is. Because a lot of times people, like, that is a false, I mean,
that's not true salvation.
That's not true. But yet people think that it is. And that's what's scary about it.
And it turns into a work, you know, of, well, if I do this good work of confession, then I'm all good.
Yep. And that one kind of matched up with wanting to be saved from the penalty of sin. So, again, wanting to go to heaven, wanting not to go to hell, but they don't want to transform their life. So, again, it's not a full life change. It is, I am doing this so that I don't have to go to hell whenever I die. And so that I can call to Jesus whenever I'm in need of him. But on a daily basis, whenever everything's just going, I'm good to keep living how I want to.
And that goes along with another point of something we need to look for. Are we only calling on the Lord when we're in a bind? Is that the only time you turn to him and rely on the Lord is if you need him? Are you, I mean, when you're on a mountaintop, are you still calling out to him and praising him and worshiping him and and just thanking him for who he is and what he's done in your life and all the blessings he's given you? Or are you only turning to him during times of crisis? And you brought up what happened with the NFL. If you want to talk about that.
I thought about Damar Hamlin and what a work the Lord has done in that entire situation. And it was awesome to see people praying on, there was a commentator on ESPN that prayed on national television, and that was awesome. But it was also a picture of just kind of people. You had these people that were coming out saying, I don't believe in God, but I'm praying. And you saw these players that, and I don't know their heart. Maybe they were all Christian. I don't know. But I think that I did see some of them admit that they weren't really religious, quote unquote religious. But in that moment, they didn't know what else to do. And everyone around them was praying. And so they just started praying too. And that was what this reminded me of, was you saw everyone coming out of the woodworks. And what did they do? Because they didn't know what else to do. They just started praying. And that is great. Like, that is what we're supposed to do, because God is all powerful, all sufficient, and he was the only one who could heal that situation. However, it still matched with this example of, you had a lot of people just caught, they weren't living a lifestyle for Jesus, but they were calling on him in this time of desperate need.
And it, I think Jeff mentioned this, it might have been a sermon I listened to recently from him or the one he has just preached, but, you know, God answers the prayers of his children. And not everyone is a child of God. And that can be controversial to say, but you're only a child of God when you put your faith and trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross to save you from the penalty of sin. And so many have not done that, but still want to pray and for God to answer their prayers, but they're lost and they have no clue that they are. And so really that's being lost. That's not really a lukewarm Christian. That's being lost. But we have to make sure, and we have to make sure, first of all,
are we
saved? Second, if we are saved, we need to be looking for this in our own hearts, in our own minds, and making sure, am I only calling on him when I need something? And not just out of a discipline, like you said, of every day thanking the Lord for and praising him for what he has done. And yes, when we are in communication with him, he wants us to call on him when we need him. But is that the only time?
And I think in summary, this last one kind of sums it up, of talked about that they are not much different from the rest of the world and everything we've just gone through. That is it, plain and simple. If you look at what they do, you look at how they talk, how they act, how they treat people,
what they're watching, what they're listening to.
He said what they're entertained by, all of those things, where they're going, and you look at them and it's just not any different. And that is That is it. They are claiming, and that kind of goes back to someone who's not sharing their faith. They're not sharing it because they have nothing to share. They're not walking the walk. If they did reach out and share it, well, their words are not going to match up with their actions because they're not living any different from the rest of the world. There's been no life change.
That is, it's so sad to just, you know, the Bible tells us to come out from them and be separate, to be holy. And we have so many people now, and I think that are just being, you know, they're deceivers, but then also the deceived that are following them, that, hey, you can be who you are, you can be kind, you can be loving, and be true to yourself, and, you know, Jesus will love you, you're saved, you're going to heaven, and everybody just kind of blindly believes that and thinks, oh, okay, I can say I believe in God and be saved without ever having a transformation of your heart and a relationship with him. Because what it boils down to is having a close and intimate relationship with the Lord and knowing him wholeheartedly, following him wholeheartedly. And if we're not doing that, then we,
it's scary.
Our toes are stepped on.
You're on the fence.
We need to get some things in check, and we need to ask the Lord, Lord, you know, thank you for showing me and convicting me of these things. Lord, help me change these things. And it's a discipline. It is a discipline, and it's worth it. It's so worth it.
It is absolutely worth it.
You know, there's times in my life where I feel like I, you know, I'm not backsliding, but like, I'm not as on fire for him as I once was. Well, then I'm slipping into being lukewarm. And I don't want that. There's nothing better. There's nothing better in this whole world than to have just a fire for the Lord and to just be so passionate about him and with him and being close with him. And like, peaceful. I love how you say just tethered to him. Like there's nothing like that in this whole world. And you can never find that anywhere except with him. And so if you find yourself in this place and like this stepped on all of our toes, and we have to seriously take those convictions to heart and ask the Lord to show us where we need to grow and what we need to fix in our lives so we can move forward with him.
Absolutely.
And the good news is he's always there. He says, and I love that after he is just blasting the church at Laodicea, he turns and says, "See, I stand at the door and knock.
Right,
if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. And I will eat with him and he with me. He will have relationship with you and he will walk with you." He's just waiting.
He's just waiting.
He will never turn his back on you.
Yep, absolutely.
As long as there is breath in our lungs.
And I think that that's what's so important to remember is that he is not trying to withhold. And all of these things, people think that they can have the best of both worlds, have a little bit of Jesus and have, you know, a little bit of the world. And that's right there at the fence. That's whenever you are on the fence. And he does not call us to that because that is not what is best for us. He created us, so he knows what is best for us. And so he's not trying to withhold any pleasure from you, anything. This world has nothing to offer us.
Right.
But he has everything to offer us. And so that's why he doesn't want us on the fence. That's why he doesn't want us to remain in this world acting like the world, because he knows that that will ultimately be detrimental to us. And I want to read one more quote before we kind of do a final summation. This was from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. And it's talking about being the problem of being a part-time Christian. It says, Christ says, "Give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. So hand over the whole natural self, all of the desires which you think innocent, as well as the ones you think wicked, the whole outfit, and I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall become yours."
That's so good. That's so good. All right, guys. That's all we have for tonight.
Yes, yes.
And so tonight, last week, Abby shared a favorite. I already forgot what it was.
I don't remember either.
we can listen to it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But tonight it's a little different. So it's not something I've listened to or read, but it's what's going on right now. It's mm-hmm. my favorite thing going on.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't heard or seen anywhere that there is a revival breaking out at Asbury University in Kentucky. And this is at this university, and they just had a regular chapel service, and it turned into this revival that's still going on right now. It's over 100 hours now that it has lasted.
Wow.
And people are driving from all over, like hours away, just to come witness what's happening.
Wow.
And one professor that works here, he said, he wanted to just go see what was going on. He went in and he said, I mean, just tears brought to his eyes, and he said, this is what heaven is like. Mm-hmm. And so there is real revival going on, and there's hope for revival across the nation.
Wow.
And we just have to stand in the gap and pray for that.
That is awesome.
I know. So cool. Check it out, guys.
Yeah.
And that's all we have for tonight.
Yes. So y'all have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see y'all soon.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.